1 John chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Lifting there in verse 1, it's not his will that we sin. And he says, my little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. But he goes on to say, if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Let us pray. Dear Jesus, we do come to you, O God, in this very time, this very place, dear Lord, seeking you for wisdom and direction in this service tonight, God, that your divine and almighty presence would be so real, Lord, that you would speak to every heart here tonight, O God. And Father, we'll be sure to give you the glory and the honor and the praise in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. This verse of scripture is very important to you as Christians to understand that. As it says here in verse 1, it's not his will that we sin. It is not his will that we would go back into sin or that we would continue in sin. If we come to find him, in fact, if you read on beyond the verses that we read out loud, you'll find verses 3 and 4. And I have them marked with knowing that we're saved. It says, and hereby do we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. And he saith, I know him and keepeth not. He that saith, I know him and keepeth not his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. And so we know as Christians through God's word that to continue in our sins or to go back to our sins, that we're not in the place that we need to be. But tonight I want to give you a message of hope. A message that God is a God of second chances. That God who loves us supremely, who loves us so much that he is willing to give his son, he's made a way. It's not just a one-shot deal that he can redeem you and save you. And it's just that one-time place. And if you go back to sin, that you can never come back to God again. That's not the way it is, my friend. But I'm grateful that God has a God of second chances. It doesn't mean that we can continue to live in those sins, and there lies a great deal of confusion in society today to think that we can be lying and cheating and stealing and doing inappropriate things and that we are Christian. Or that because we've gone through some act of special worship or because somebody has laid hands on us around an altar of prayer and that majestically has healed us. I remember a particular church that I was invited to preach at and it was in that particular time. It happened to be a Spanish church. First time I ever preached by interpreter and I gave my testimony, and after the testimony time and sharing what God had done for me, we made an altar call. People came in to pray and the pastor came to me and handed me a bottle of anointing oil. Said, here, this is what I do. I just anoint them. He wanted me to walk around and anoint every person at the altar. Like that was their way of salvation or something. And I thought in my heart, where is the consulting with them? Where is the leading them in prayer? Where is the place where they're calling out to God and being transformed? But instead it became apparently such as some kind of a religious ceremony. They've come to pray, so now we apply the oil. Now, God does ordain us to use anointing oil. He has a purpose and a place. In fact, there was a particular situation where God even used that to restore somebody who was backsliding. Maybe you've heard the story of Elwood. I probably told it here before, maybe more than once, but I'm going to tell it tonight because Elwood is a prime example of a God who believes in second chances. In this case, in this church that I was at, it was a religious act. I don't believe that in the way that it was to be performed there, that it had any redeeming quality. Now, if somebody had a real, true, repentant heart and sought God, they could have gotten saved, even if the preacher came by and just did some kind of a ceremonial thing over them. For some, maybe it's baptism. Because they've been baptized, they put their faith and confidence in that. But you know, that doesn't save us. Only one time in my life that I know that God called upon me to use anointing oil for an individual that was backslidden. In fact, at that time in my life, I didn't even carry anointing oil. And I'll try to tell you the whole story in the shortest fashion that I can and be conclusive with the information that you can understand what happened. But I remember arriving at church that particular day. I was helping out at the Berwick Church, and I was teaching the Sunday the teen Sunday school class. Did a little bit of everything, I guess, in my life and get confused. But I was teaching the teen Sunday school class, and one of the girls in that class, I think her name might have been Katie. And while we were in that Sunday school class there, I noticed Katie was very broken. And Katie was not herself this day. And I said to her, I said, Katie, what's wrong? And she said, oh, pray for my grandpa. He's in the hospital. He was in the hospital some time ago, and they had amputated his leg. And then they came home, and his wife, her grandmother, had become so physically and bodily unable to take care of herself that they whisked her away to a nursing home. And now he comes home, and he's got an amputated leg, and he's got to care for himself, and his wife has been carried away. The man was broken. He didn't seem to have much left in his life. And the pain, severe pain that he would get from that, they had given him a type of painkiller, Oxycontin, I believe it's called, which is a form of morphine, a very strong painkiller. It's often used as an illegal drug among people. And he had decided that he was going to end it all, and so he just took a mass quantity of the Oxycontin. Landed himself in the hospital near death. Suicide attempt. And I said to her, I'll go see your grandfather, what hospital he's in. And told me to go down to Danville, and that's where he would be. And I was teaching Sunday school. I thought, you think you might have a busy schedule? I had a busy schedule. I taught Sunday school in the morning. I led song service, helped out with whatever church needs. Then I drove about 45 minutes to another church. I taught Sunday school in the afternoon service, sometimes led song service there. And then I would drive back to the Berwick Church, and I would lead song service there again. Sometimes we'd help out with the youth service. And that was my Sunday routine. Two churches and fully involved and totally exhausted. But I left the afternoon service and went back to Brother Major's house and had a wonderful dinner, awesome cook that they are, and enjoyed that. And I'm sitting there, God is building on my heart. I must go see Elward. I must go see Elward at the hospital. Now I'm all the way up by Wilkes-Barre. Did I mention also that I drive an hour and 5 minutes one way to get to the first church? So I would have to have, from where I'm at to even just go straight home, I'd stop by the Berwick Church, it's en route, and then I'd drive another hour and 5 minutes to get home. Well, it's right by Danville, and I called up the pastor at Berwick, happened to be Brother Guy at the time, Brother Baker's uncle, and I called him up and said, Brother Guy, I said, I'm sorry, I will not be at service tonight. I said, I really feel God wants me to make this hospital call. And so I want to get there before it's too late. And so I left there after eating supper at the Major's house, drove all the way to Danville, Geisinger, went in to visit him, and never met him before in my life. And I walk up to Elwood, there he is in the bed, and he's in bad shape, and he's still, I believe, somewhat under the effects of the drugs that he had taken and trying to get it out of his system. And I started to talk with him, and he didn't really want to make face contact with me at all. I'm a preacher, and I'm standing beside his bedside, and I was trying to make conversation with him. And this is the one thing that I remember that he said that day. As he peered over at me out of the corners of his eyes, he said, look, he said, I'm just a miserable backslider like the rest of them, and turned his head the other direction and wouldn't even look at me. So I want to pray for you and encourage him that God could bring him back and God could bring him to a place where he could know him and his life could be changed and God could forgive him of his sins. But in his mind, he's a miserable backslider. There's no way to get back to God. Give it up, hope. Tried to take his life, no desire, no thought about God, not even interested in God. And I left the hospital that day, and I went on my way home, and I told him, I said, I would come back and see him the next day. And as I traveled back to after work, and this time God spoke to my heart that I need to swing by the Danville bookstore, Christian bookstore. I need to get a vial of anointing oil, and I need to take some with me when I go to that hospital. You know, from that day forward, I started carrying anointing oil everywhere I go. I carry it on me everywhere I go because I do believe that God uses that in the right place and at the right time, not just for a religious ceremony in any way, but He has a purpose in His scriptures for it. And I had been involved in anointing services for people to be healed, and I couldn't understand, you know, why is God, you know, He can't be healed of the leg. I've never heard of somebody sprouting a new leg after it's been amputated. I didn't know what God had all in mind here, but I thought, well, I can anoint him. He's sick. He's trying to recover. And I arrive at the hospital again. God had the burden on my heart that I must go to the bookstore before arriving at the hospital to see him. I get to the hospital and I start to talk to him. He's a little surprised that I think that I even came back. But there was an orderly there who's feeding him because he's unable to feed himself. That's how bad a shape he was in. And he talked a little bit more with me, but I had just a limited block of time that I could actually visit with him. I don't recall what the circumstances were, but I had to be somewhere else, and this orderly's kind of in the way, and I can't really talk to him. How am I going to anoint this guy when an orderly's feeding him? I mean, things just didn't add up. I told him that I would return back again. I came back the next day. And this time, I would have had no time to go to the Bible store with my work schedule. There was no way. That was the only day that I could get there for it. I came back the next day to see Elwood, and I walk in again. He's kind of surprised to see me again. Here's a preacher who hasn't given up on him. And I start to talk to Elwood about his soul. I start to talk to him about the fact that he can get right with God. Started to pray with him and began to pray, and I was just praying and seeking God, and he's praying. And after we're done, I asked him, I said, well, do you believe that God forgives you? Yep, believe he forgives me. And he's saying yep, and God's saying no. And God's speaking to my heart, no. He's not gotten clear with me. And I said, Elwood, I said, you know, you sure you feel like God is for you? Yep. It was just this really, I mean, there's nothing, no spiritual depth to it, no brokenness, no change whatsoever. And I started to talk to him some more. I said, Elwood, I said, are you really sure that God has forgiven you? And finally, he started to break a little bit. And he said, no, he said, I don't think God can forgive me. He was just paying lip service. He was just going through the process and really didn't have much hope in his heart of really getting right with God. Probably just kind of appeasing the preacher. That happens a lot. People just want, oh, yeah, sure, I'll pray with you, Pastor. But no depth, no brokenness. But God was involved in Elwood's life. And we began to talk with him some more. And I said, you know what, Elwood? And it was very obvious as we're praying that nothing had happened and change in his heart, and continued to talk with him and converse with him about his need and trying to raise hope in his heart that God could save me. And he just realized, no, he said, I just don't believe that God can save me. I've done too many things wrong. So I picked up the Bible and I said, Elwood, I said, do you believe that this is the Word of God? He said, yeah, I do. I said, do you really believe this is the Word of God? Do you believe that what is printed in here is God's Word? And it's true. Yeah, I do. First time in my life ever led to anointing scriptures to pray with somebody about salvation. And when I had read over those scriptures and I realized what it actually said in there, it also says not only about healing, and I'm going to read those to you, found in James chapter 5. You're welcome to turn there if you want to, but I'll be finished reading in just a few seconds. In James chapter 5, verse 13, it says, is any among you afflicted, let him pray. Is any merry, let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he hath committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. And I said, Elwood, I said, right here, God says that he will forgive you. I said, and I brought anointing oil with. And I said, God cannot lie. And if God put that in his holy word, God must save you. God must forgive you your sins. If you'll confess your sins. And what was it? Was it that the anointing oil had some kind of magical remedy? No, absolutely not. You can only get saved by faith. But Elwood put faith in the Word of God. And it was just one other place in the Scriptures where it talks about sins being forgiven. And so we went back to prayer again, and God came in a very special way. And I can tell you that I fully believe that Elwood prayed clear through to God, because the room just filled with the presence of God. God was all over the place. And I want to praise Him tonight to believe that God reached out and saved Elwood that night. And I was so excited afterwards and what God had done for him. And I said to him, I said, Elwood, I said, somebody's been praying for you. He said, oh, that would be my brother. I said, do you have his phone number? And he rattled off his phone number. And I went down to the elevator shaft area, and I got on the phone and I called his brother Benjamin up. Elwood Benjamin is his last name. I don't remember his brother's name. But I called Elwood's brother up, and I was talking with him, and here this man is just serving the Lord. He witnesses the people all over the place and just on fire for God. And I'm telling him what God has done for his brother, and he's just rejoicing on the other end of the phone. When I came back in the room, I seen something extremely unusual. I never seen this happen to somebody before, but apparently when I left the room, God wasn't finished with Elwood. When I came back in the room, Elwood laid on the bed and his eyes were actually rolled back. And when he came out of what looked to be some kind of an unusual experience, all I can tell you is this man was aglow with the presence of God. God was still working on that man. God had moved in his life in such a way. Just to finish off the story and tell you what happened, and I'm excited he got saved. I promised to bring him a Bible back, and I'd be back the next day with the Bible. Now I'm on I guess that'd be my fourth visit. And so I come back with the Bible, and I get there, and there's he's not here. And they tell, oh, he's been discharged. Now, there is no way that man has been discharged. I said, yeah, he's been discharged. I said, I'm kind of talking to the people. I said, it just didn't make sense. How could he be discharged? He said, well, he said you'll just have to call the family and find out more information. So I called the family, and they called the hospital, and then they found out whether he had been moved to the psychiatric ward because of the attempted suicide. And they won't tell you when they move somebody there. They just tell you they've been discharged. They've been discharged from the medical floor, but they don't tell you they've been moved somewhere else. And so I got in to see him. I believe it was the next day I came down. At that point, it was too late. I came down the following day, and I went up to the psychiatric ward, and I said, I brought a Bible for Elwood. And I'd just like to see Elwood Benjamin. Oh, you can't see him. You can't see him. I said, no, wait a minute. I said, I'm a pastor. I said, here's my minister's license. I said, I promised him I was bringing him the Bible. I said, I just want to drop this Bible off at his bedside. Oh, I don't know. He's in bad shape. I don't think you can see him. I said, well, what's wrong with him? Oh, well, hang on just a minute. And she went and left and came back to me and said, look, she told me far more than she probably ever should have told me, but she told me the truth. She said, we have a problem with Elwood. She said, we accidentally gave him too much Oxycontin, the very thing he tried to overdose on. And I looked right at her and said, I want to see Elwood right now. I said, I promised that man a Bible. I said, I will have a word of prayer in his room. And I said, I will leave. I said, I just want to put the Bible. I said, please, let me see Elwood. And I went back in the room. To my horror, I seen a man laying on a hospital bed, just trembling. His whole body just shaking and trembling. When you looked at his eyes, all you seen was a needle point pupil. His eyes were so constricted, it was just like a little tiny needle point. The man couldn't see anything. He was out of his mind. And I look at this man that God had just saved two nights before. And I can imagine that that was not God's will for Edward to be going through what he was going through. And I began to pray and call out to God, ask God to just drive back the chemicals in this man's body and to bring this man to the place where he'd be all right. And I prayed fervently and just left and praying in faith. And I got outside and I did the thing that anybody should do when they find out something like that. I got on the phone and I called the family up. At this point now, I had his daughter's number, I had his brother's number, and so I called the family. I said, look, you need to get to the hospital right now. I said, they have overdosed your father on the same drug that he attempted suicide on. You need to get down there right now. And sure enough, they were there within like 45 minutes of my phone call. I wasn't there when they arrived. I had to leave, and they got in to see him, and I talked to them the next day. And they said, a total miracle happened. By the time we got there, he was sitting up in bed, completely normal, eating his supper. You want to talk about a God that's able to heal? Now I want to look at the point that I'm trying to draw out tonight. And that is that Elwood was a wicked, lost sinner, had gone so far, even attempted suicide. His life was coming to a close. He had nothing to live for. His wife has been put away in a nursing home. He can't even walk anymore. He's missing a leg. His life had been destroyed. And he had no relationship with God, far from God, not even thinking that it's possible to know Him once again. But God, a God who believes in second chances, came down from heaven. And yes, He used the vessel. He used somebody to be there. But it was God who did the miracle. It was God who came and brought salvation. It was God that forgave him of his sins. And I tell you tonight that according to the Word of God, if you've sinned, if you've gone back to sin, after that you've known God, I want to let you know that you have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. You have a second chance. You have another opportunity to come to Him. And friends, I'm so glad that God loves the backslider. I'm so glad tonight that God is in the business of reaching down and changing lives. And God's in the business of bringing restoration back to the heart of man that have fled from Him. The Apostle John wrote those words that he wrote to us that we shared tonight. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And I can tell you that from experience that if you've ever turned back on God, that one of the great barriers you have is believing that God will not save you. It's a barrier that the enemy likes to stick up so that you'll think that there's no way. You've gone too far. You've offended God again. You've gone too far. But I want to let you know tonight, God is a God of second chances. We serve a God of second chances. We serve a God who's able to bring restoration to your soul. It doesn't mean that we can have a sinning religion, no. And that's the way some people would abuse the Scripture. So in your own heart tonight, I ask you the question, are you where you need to be? Is your heart clear with God? Do you struggle to get right with God after you've sinned against Him? Do you struggle to keep things clear with God? I want to let you know that God tonight is a God of second chances. God tonight is a God of another opportunity. But in order to gain that, you're going to have to be willing to pray. Elwood had to be willing to pray. Elwood had to be willing to put his confidence not in what he thought, not in whether he believed that he could be saved, but he had to learn to put his, he had to take the opportunity and take the chance and put his faith in the Word of God that God said that He would forgive his sins. And if you struggle to get back with God after you've sinned against Him, after you've offended Him, after you've turned against Him, and you've turned your back on Him because of your going back into sin, can I tell you tonight that God is a God of second chances? And He's a God to give you another opportunity, another possibility right here this night. I'd like us all to bow our heads very reverently before the Lord and quietly. Is there anybody here tonight that down in your heart you know that you need another chance with God? Maybe you've never really sought Him and known Him. Maybe you've come to know Him and you know that you've turned back. God is a God of second chances. I invite you tonight that you would come and just kneel here before the altar if you're able to physically kneel. If you're not, just simply sit in one of the front pews. But you make a motion towards God, and I guarantee you God's able to help you through and to bring you through if you'll commit your way unto Him. I'm going to say a word of prayer and give opportunity for anybody who would like to come and seek the Lord. Just come and kneel here at the altar tonight. Are you in need of a second chance? Elwood had to be willing to pray. He had to be willing to take the initiative to pray. This is a different setting. I'm not standing beside your bedside. But you have an opportunity to come right here, bodily, physically, and spiritually, and kneel before God and cry out to Him, Lord, we come to You tonight, and I know those hearts You're speaking to. And Lord, we commit this into Your hands, dear God. Lord, that You would just raise up a hope down on the inside that You're a God of a second chance and You're willing to forgive if we're willing to confess and to forsake. And Lord God, we ask tonight, God, if there's anybody here that is burdened in their heart and they know that they need salvation, that they would come and they would pray this evening, Lord. For Thou art able to bring a change of life, Lord. Father, we give Thee praise and glory. Is there anybody tonight that would like to pray? Anybody this evening that would like to seek God and know Him? Would like a second chance with God? He is a God of second chances. But you've got to be willing to move towards Him. Anybody this evening before we dismiss that would like to seek God? A God of second chances. I'll give you just a moment to think of that. Lord, we continue to pray and ask You to seek out the hearts here tonight. Lord, You're speaking to souls. You're speaking to hearts. Is there anybody that You're drawing tonight, God? Give them courage to step out. Give them a desire and a burden to get clear with You. Lord, we'll praise Thee tonight. Anybody else who wants to pray tonight? Is God speaking to your heart? Is there sin in your life? Because if there's sin in your life, God is able to change you, but you're going to have to be willing. You're going to have to be willing. Praise the Lord. Anybody else wants to pray tonight? Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your faithfulness. As we enter into the season of prayer, God, we pray and believe that you will bring the victory in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Those who know the value of prayer, would you please come forward at this time and